Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here today. We'd like to welcome everyone to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Monday, December the 27th, 2021. We welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism, and we pray, as always, that God's grace, His Word, and the Holy Spirit will touch your heart and your life, and He will minister to you in some capacity or some way. We thank you for your prayers, your love, and for your financial support for the Voice of Evangelism. You're helping the ministry to literally go around the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I was in prayer this morning, I was pleading with God, give me thousands and tens of thousands of souls. Jesus died for one purpose. That was to save mankind. And that's why the message of repentance, redemption, salvation is so important. That's the message. It's not about prosperity. It's not about blessings. You live right. You do right. God will honor you and God will bless you. You don't have to have a program, a procedure, or a policy in how to be prosperous. Live right. Just live right and you will witness the hand of God in your life. David said in Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The child of God that lives righteously does not have to go around begging God for anything. I am a son of God. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are either a son of God or a daughter of God, and you too have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And if you've done your part in abiding by the word of the Lord, tithing and giving and offerings, I believe emphatically, just like in the natural, my children will have an inheritance. I believe the redeemed have an inheritance. But in the process, my children have rights to my food, my housing, everything that I have. Why? They're my children. We have spiritual rights in the kingdom of God that God has provided through his atonement on the cross. So to fabricate some kind of program, policy, procedure, some fable, some myth, to be prosperous, that's error. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you put God first, you obey the word of God, you abide in the word of God, he will bless you. He will add everything to your life that you need. But men have come up with trickery and chicanery. They've come up with methods to extract money from people. And anybody that would use the Word of God or the Spirit of God to prosper, that without a doubt is filthy lucre. You don't use God for prosperity. You live right. I believe emphatically God will bless the redeemed. We have a great, great blessing and heritage in the Lord God of Abraham. Amen. Well, the year is nearly gone. Today's the 27th. Tomorrow will be the 28th. Next week will be a new year. And the new year will be 2022. 2022. Three deuces. Three twos. The number of man, six. What will the number of man hold for us next year? I believe everything will continue to unravel. I believe as we witness more and more evil in the earth, everything will continue to deteriorate. And for that reason, today and tomorrow, I want to speak to you about prayer. I feel constrained. I know I spoke on the Comforter a few days ago, but I just sense the need for prayer. We have got to pray, saints. We have got to call out to God in this hour. And I'm not talking about a little courtesy prayer. I'm talking about spending time in the presence of God. Spending time in the presence of God. You know, some weeks ago I shared with you Dark Winter, a YouTube video. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. It's entitled Dark Winter. And that was back early October. And then in the month of November, they found smallpox vials in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. If you will remember in that video I did, Dark Winter, which was an actual operation, June the 22nd, June the 23rd of 2001. And it was a simulation of a smallpox outbreak in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Then it broke out in Georgia. Then it went to Pennsylvania. And I thought, how eerie, and that they found those smallpox vials in a freezer in Pennsylvania. This is why we must pray. We must pray. Now, in my limited knowledge of the smallpox vaccine, that most of you are my age, you have that vaccine. We were vaccinated for smallpox before we went to school. That would have been 61, 62 years ago for me. It is believed people that have that still would have a measure of immunity to the smallpox outbreak if it were to be so. I'm not saying it is so. I just find it ironic. I felt led to expound on the Dark Winter back early October, and they find those smallpox vials in a freezer in Pennsylvania, and that was one of the states wherein there was an outbreak. We are living in a very dangerous time, and let me say it again and again and again, the end is not yet. The end is not yet. People are full of fear. I've learned this about fear-mongers. They are fear-mongers because they are filled with fear. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. They are inundated, they are overwhelmed with fear and anxiety, afraid of everything. Thus, they are purveyors of that. But if you pray, spend time in the presence of God, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind. There will be placidity in your heart and in your mind. Amen. I want to play a beautiful song. I love this song. It's by the Freemans. It's entitled, It Still Takes the Blood. Don't ever put your faith in anything but the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
It takes water to quench the thirst of man. It takes love to fill the void of a lonely grave. It takes breath in a body if life was blood for a soul to be saved.
How true. It takes the blood of the Lamb to be saved. Nothing else in the world can save a man. This was the very reason Jesus was conceived through the Holy Spirit of God, because his blood was precious blood, righteous blood, holy blood, sinless blood. And that's what it took to satisfy God's demand for sin. And if we believe in anything other than redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, Jesus died in vain. But we know he didn't die in vain. When Jesus said on the cross, "Father, it is finished," salvation, redemption, reconciliation, justification was bought and fully paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else is required to be saved. Simply believe on what Jesus did on the cross. That's what Jesus told the jailer in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Believe. Believe. Nothing else redeems men. Nothing whatsoever. We're talking about redemption. The blood cleanses from sin. 1 John 1:7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us." Cleanseth us from what? All sin. Remember that. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Just the blood. Nothing else. That's the great passage in Revelation 7:14. John is questioning the angelic host. "Who are these?" "These are they that have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Praise God for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you today, tomorrow. I want to close out the year talking about prayer. I don't think any of us understand the gravity and the need for prayer at this time. As all of you know that listen to the voice of evangelism, we preach an uncompromising message from the Word of God. We do not patty cake, pamper, pad, and protect you from the Scriptures. We shell the corn. We deliver the Word of the Lord on a consistent basis. That's the purpose of this ministry. But in the last year and a half, I have really felt constrained to pray, to enhance my own personal prayer life and walk with God. Nothing can substitute prayer. Just like nothing can substitute the Word of God, nothing can substitute the Holy Spirit, nothing can substitute the need for earnest, fervent, effectual prayer. Nothing can substitute that. One of the great things people fail to realize is when you're praying, you are ushering, you're bringing yourself into the presence of God. You're getting into the presence of God. Jesus was a man of prayer. All the great patriarchs of faith were people of prayer. They earnestly prayed. Remember, Elijah prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly. For what? That the heavens would be shut up. Jesus prayed earnestly. They didn't patty cake their prayer life. They prayed fervently. They were prayers of passion. Great spirit-filled passion. I want to go to Acts chapter 12. I want to share verses 1 through 5. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, or it was the time of Passover. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him into four quadrants of soldiers, meaning 16 soldiers, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. May God add his rich and overwhelming blessings to his most holy word. I just want to speak to you about prayer. The Bible tells us here in verse 1, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Herod, Agrippa, however you want to name him. He stretched forth his hands. This is a type and work of the enemy, and that he stretched forth his hands. Now he stretched forth his hands for a purpose, for a reason, and that was to hurt, harm, hinder, and destroy the beginning of the church, the body of Christ. We notice in our scripture text that the Bible says he stretched forth his hands to vex. He sought to vex the church. Now, for one to be vexed, you must be in a relationship with Jesus. That word vexed in the Greek means to maltreat with cruelty. There is a spirit of cruelty, maltreatment that is going over the earth seeking to hinder, to encroach, and to destroy the church, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. That spirit of vexation is going to grow exponentially here in the time of the end. Now, Herod stretched forth his hands to cruelly treat certain of the church. There will be those that will be more so cruelly treated than others. But we all will suffer because we are part of the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head, and we are the members of his body. And trouble is coming not only to America, but trouble is coming to the entire earth. We're witnessing the civil unrest that is prevailing throughout the earth and all the nations of the earth. You're witnessing it. You're seeing it. The civil unrest is growing exponentially in Europe. Now, the church in Europe is very weak. The church in Europe is anemic. The great cathedrals are vacant. They're empty. No one is there. because they've become a godless continent. A godless continent. They have forgotten God. And America is right behind them, dead on their heels when it comes to God and the church, the body of Christ. And as we enter more deeply into the time of the end, we are going to see vexation. Now, I find it profound in that the greater sin grows systemically in the earth, the greater the vexation, the cruelty. We're all witnessing cruelty in the earth as never before. Men have become very, very, very cruel. They seek to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And the vexation is going to grow exponentially. We're told in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy lifestyle of the wicked. Of course, the word there in the King James is conversation. Let me quote it as it is. 2 Peter 2:7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He was vexed because of the filthy lifestyle. Remember, I always tell you, when you read the word conversation in the Bible, in the Greek, it means lifestyle. My soul is vexed with the filthy lifestyle of the wicked. Now, who were the wicked in the days of Lot? The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were inundated. They were overwhelmed. They were overcome with what? Sodomy. Homosexuality. Every time you turn on your television, there's a new pharmaceutical or drug commercial, a telephone commercial, men holding men's hands, men kissing men, women kissing women, playing footsies, all of this sordid, filthy, vile, wicked, licentious deeds. It's nothing but pure evil. And it's vexing the souls of the righteous. This is going to bleed into our lives where we're going to be vexed, meaning maltreated with cruelty. Cruelty. I read just the other day of a United Methodist church that allowed a queer, gay, drag queen episode, and they used the facility of a United Methodist church somewhere in Georgia, close to Emory University. I actually think the number one drag queen was from the university. Whether we like it or not, and I certainly do not like it, Jesus told us, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. You can find that in the 17th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke 17:28, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Why? She looked back. Now, judgment is coming. Now, I know that's not popular teaching. That's not popular preaching. But the judgment of God is coming in the earth. It came in the earth in the days of Noah. It came in the earth in the days of Lot. Jesus there in Luke 17 says, as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. So this is why you cannot refute judgment will not precede the coming of the Lord. Judgment will take place before the Lord comes. Oh, I don't believe God's going to judge America. Well, you're only deceived to believe such. How is it we witness the carnality, the evil that is in the earth? How do we witness this? How do we see this? Do we not see that the earth is becoming more and more vile? The earth is becoming more and more wicked. We must understand that things are getting more vile, more wicked by the day. We must understand that. We must grasp that, my friend. And needless to say, this is why we must spend more time in prayer. You cannot neglect your prayer life. I said you cannot neglect your prayer life. You must pick up your prayer life. You must pray more than what you're praying. Because the earth, let me say it like this, the world, the sinners, the unrighteous, the vile, the wicked, they're going to seek to persecute the church. Vex the church. You are a part of the church, the body of Christ. And we're going to see Satan personified in that he's going to stretch forth his hand to vex certain of the church. That tells me some will be vexed, persecuted, greater than others. But the very fact that you're attached to the church, the body of Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. Now, I know in my heart that many don't believe the church is going to see great persecution or the church is going to go through heartache, hardship, tribulation. I know that. That's why we have the term pre-tribulation rapture. They don't believe they're going to suffer any kind of tribulation, but we are. We're going to suffer great tribulation. I know people want to embrace that. Nobody wants to suffer, but we're going to suffer because we are a part of the church, the body of Christ. The enemy, just like through Herod and the early church, stretched forth his hands to vex the church. Now, let me say this today. I believe emphatically, I believe I am correct scripturally, that the church is going to witness great tribulation. Great tribulation. Now, I know there are those who say, well, God would never suffer the church to go through anything like that. Why is it the early church went through so much pain, so much sorrow, so much suffering, yet somehow we believe we're not going to go through anything? I'm here to tell you, you're going to go through things that you didn't think you were going to go through. I've noticed lately, pre-tribbers are beginning to make statements like, well, I think we're going to see some things. You know why they're beginning to say that? Because they're here and they're witnessing things taking place. They're seeing things take place right now. And you know what that is? That's a question That's a question mark in their mind. I'm still here. I'm seeing things that I didn't think I would see. That's one of the great moves of the Holy Spirit to try to get people to awaken to the truth. And I know everybody says that are pre-tribulationists, this is all about Israel. It's about all of us, folks. You want to single out Israel. It's just for them to get saved. Does not God love everyone? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I know the cliche. I know the cliche statements. These are great tribulation saints, those that are born again during the great tribulation. Can you find that phrase in the Bible, great tribulation saints? No, you can't. It doesn't exist. It is a term made up. It does say these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, but it doesn't distinctly call them great tribulation saints. It just calls them saints. I hope you're a saint. I'm a saint. I know some of you laugh at that when I say I'm a saint, not because of who I am, because of whose I am. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thus, that makes me a saint. A saint. See? Now, we're called to be saints. Did you know that? God has predestined, God has preordained that you to be a saint of God. Now, how do I become a saint? You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. You take up your cross daily. You deny yourself, and that's what makes you a saint. No, the Pope doesn't venerate you. He doesn't make you a saint. You're called to be a saint of God. Well, how do we know that? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. You are called to be a saint of God. You're called to be a saint of God. And when you are washed in the blood of the Lamb, that allows you to become the saint of God that God wants you to be. Now, getting back to suffering, great persecution is coming to the church. The early church and its conception, and as I've said many times, all we see in the early chapters of the book of Acts is Jewish believers becoming converted to Christianity or to Jesus Christ. We find that phrase in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. They were called Christians first in Antioch. That name began to take hold in the life of Jewish converts, and they became Christians. Just like the city of Corinth, they were Corinthians, Philippi, Philippians, Thessalonica, Thessalonians. You see what I'm saying? Ephesus, Ephesians. Well, we took on Christianity. Thus, we became known as Christians, followers of Jesus, the Lord's Christ. Pluralizing the church, Christians. We're told in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and at that time, what time? That'll be the time when Satan is thrust out of heaven to the earth. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. If you've listened to any of my teachings, when it says stand up, Michael stands up, the Hebrew says he ascends up, he mounts up, he goes up. Where does he go? Right now he's the protector, you might say the guardian over Israel. But when it's time for the revelation of the Antichrist, Michael will be lifted up. Revelation 12 and 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So when Michael ascends, He goes to the throne room of God. You'll find all this in Revelation chapter 12. He starts this war in heaven. Lucifer, Satan, is permanently kicked out of heaven, and he's confined to the earth. He's confined to the earth. He has never been confined to anything. He's had free reign, free course. He can go do whatever he wants to. But at this point in time, Elohim, God, is going to confine him to the earth. Confine him to the earth. That's why it says in Revelation 12 and 12, woe. The word woe there means great will be your grief. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Because his time is short, because he is confined to the earth, he becomes angry. He's vehement. He's venomous. He is so angry. Why? God is orchestrating his divine and sovereign power even over Satan. And of course, that power constrains him to the earth. Then he goes after Israel, and then after those who keep the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this is what it means here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, mount up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, meaning Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. There's coming a time of unfathomable distress, vexation, perplexity, uncertainty, chaos in the earth. And I'll say it again. I know it makes some of you mad when I say it, but we're not there yet. You know, just a year and a half or so ago, all of this hysteria, all of this hyperbole about the vaccine, the passport, marker of the beast. Folks, do you have currency in your pocketbook? I said, do you have currency in your wallet? Now, some of you listening to me, you've already gotten off of currency, and you do everything by debit card or credit card. Well, I don't do that. I still write checks, and I carry cash. I don't have a debit card. I don't have a PIN number. I don't have any of that. It's guys like me that are an impediment to the system. But, if they move us to a cryptocurrency, that means cash will be unusable. See, this is the manipulation that we're told of in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. He calleth all, Revelation 13, 16, and he calleth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name or the number of the beast. This is where we're going. We're not there yet. But once they go to a digital currency and say, well, you got to use the credit card. You see this right here? That's a cell phone. Take a dishcloth, a dish rag, or a towel and swipe your screen. Nothing happens. I said, nothing happens. You got to put your finger on it. Your flesh has to touch the screen. You see, we're already falling into this scenario, and people are not aware of it. Now, when you read out, and I talk about this in my book, Revelation chapter 13, Revealed, something has to happen, and the system is going to work by the touch, by the touch. I want to try and find that quickly. It's 5586 in the Strong Exhaustive Concordance. I've shared all of this many, many times, but I'll share it again. 5586 talks about a pebble as worn smooth by handling. That's 5586. Well, 5586 says to reference 5584. It means to manipulate, verify by contact. Verify by contact. As I said, take your screen, rub it all you want to with a paper towel, a washcloth, anything like that. It won't react. But put your flesh, your finger on it. And so 5584 says to manipulate, i.e. that is verify by contact, to search for, feel after, handle, touch. You've already got a type of passport in your hand every day. But these circus clowns out here don't know enough about the Word of God. So they're going to push it off on a vaccine. Where does the Bible teach that? Where does the Bible teach that? Well, it doesn't. It's a mark. Where is it? Your forehead or which hand? Your right hand. See, that was the reason they put the smallpox vaccine on your left arm, because it leaves a mark. I have a mark on my left arm up close to my shoulder, and you have one too if you've taken that vaccine. See, they knew that 60 plus years ago. So they didn't put it on the right arm, the right shoulder. Why? It was too close proximity. Same thing in the 30s when they came out with Social Security. I remember my grandparents telling me the outrage when they gave everybody a number. Thus, on your Social Security card, it says not for identification purposes, but taxes only. I still have my Social Security card. That's what it says on there. But we all know that was a lie, because it is your identification number. When Wesley, my second child, was born, they gave us his Social Security card before we left the hospital. You see, this is a process. This is a process. And when you understand the phone does not work with a piece of cloth, your finger, you have to make contact. That's what the Bible says about the mark of the beast. Handle, touch, by contact. And you see that years ago when they developed the barcode. And I forget what you call it now, but there's a little square thing about the size of a 50-cent piece or a silver dollar, and it's got this code on it, and you can scan it even on television, and it'll take you to a website. It'll do this, it'll do that. You see, we're getting acclimated for these things, and you have these circus clowns running around here trying to be prophetic. They're not prophetic. They're pathetic. I said they're not prophetic. They're pathetic. These folks, listen to me. These people don't live right. They don't pray. They don't live a godly, righteous, sanctified, consecrated, dedicated life. They curse, they swear, they drink, they do all sorts of ungodly things. But because they got a microphone and they can read, people put some kind of belief in what they're saying. I am so careful now to who I ever listen to anymore. I don't want their thoughts, their perversity in my spirit. I don't want it there. And the more I pray, and the more you pray, the more the Lord is going to harness you and steer you accordingly. But see, your prayer life is a type of submission to God. Now, the trouble is coming. Just like with the early church, the trouble came. And the trouble is going to be very, very, very difficult. Because the evil one is going to stretch forth his hands to vex the church, the body of Christ. But here's what I love about Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Prayer was made without ceasing. Prayer was made without ceasing. You have got to keep praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. Nobody prays too much. I said nobody prays too much. Most of us don't spend enough time in prayer. We don't even have a dedicated, consecrated, devoted prayer life. It's a hit and a miss. It's when we need something. It's when we need to manipulate God. We God do this, God do that. We don't come and worship God in our prayer lives. We come and we plead and we beg, give me this, give me that, do this, do that, run here, run there. How many times do you just thank God for his word? How many times do you just thank God out of all the years of your Christian walk with God, he has covered you, he has protected you, he has provided for you, he has housed you, he has clothed you, he has loved you. And yes, he has served you in that he's heard and answered prayers and preserved you. The fact that he preserves you is a type of serving. It's a service. God has kept us. There were times Satan sought to utterly destroy us, but God kept us. God watched over us. Why? Because he loves us. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. What made the church strong? Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, meaning the Apostle Peter. They were sincere. They were earnestly praying. They were earnestly seeking God. Are we doing that? Are we earnestly seeking God like we should? Or are we just a hit and a miss? A hit and a miss. That's what it boils down to most of the time. A hit and a miss. I don't want to be like that with my prayer life. Do you? I don't want to be found like that. I don't want to be found like that whatsoever. I want to be like Jude and earnestly contend for the faith. Prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. All the patriarchs of faith were people of prayer. They chose to pray. They chose to meet God. You've heard me say this, as I get older, it's more advantageous to pray early in the mornings. When I was younger, I would spend a lot of time at night praying. After 11 o'clock at night, I would pray a lot, up to midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. But I don't have the physical strength. I said, I don't have the physical strength to pray like that anymore. So I get up early in the morning before my day gets started, and I spend that time in prayer and in the Word of God. I'm always seeking God for the message. I'm always seeking God for the message. What do you want me to bring the people? What do you want me to share with the people? What is the message for the hour? Now, starting next week, we're going to begin the second coming of Christ and the end of the age relative to the parables in Matthew chapter 13. I've been talking about that. We're about to engage in that. And my thoughts now, Lord, what's the next series? What's the next message? What's on the horizon for the church, the body of Christ? Something is going on. Something is moving. Something is transpiring. Something is taking place. And I know without a doubt that the hand of the evil one is being stretched forth to vex the church. And we see the vexation was growing exponentially. Because here in Acts chapter 12, verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, we don't know if he beheaded him. There may be some history that would give us more details, or he thrust it through him. I can't say. I haven't studied that out. But we do know he killed him with the sword. Could have thrust it through his heart, beheaded him. I don't know. My point is, he did this, and notice what it says in verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews. You ever realize, do you understand the bloodletting excites and it pleases people? The abortionists, the abortion clinics, here it says the Jews. He saw it pleased the Jews. Thus he proceeded further to take Peter also. See, that's a spirit. That is a spirit of vexation. It is a spirit of cruelty, maltreat, injure, harm, to do damage. That is a spirit in the earth. It is growing. That's why we'll see civil unrest and a third world war. I can't say when it will be, but I know in my heart, I know in my mind, we're getting closer every day to a breaking point. Why? Because there's no repentance. Listen, don't think I don't want a revival. I don't want to see America destroyed. I don't want to see my children, grandchildren, I don't want to see them suffer. I want a sovereign move of God. But where is the message of old-fashioned repentance? Why aren't the preachers telling people, get right with God? Get right with God. Amos 4:11. O Israel, prepare to meet thy God. Or it's verse 12, Amos 4:12. He warned Israel, you need to get prepared to meet God. Repent, because judgment is coming to the land. Well, we don't want to hear that kind of preaching. That's not popular. We don't like that. Tell us how to have our best life now. Tell us how to give financially, and we become millionaires. We get all sorts of money. People are in prison. I said people are in prison because of preaching the prosperity message. Bad things happen when you preach about money and not Calvary. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness unto them which perish, but unto us it is the power of God unto salvation. That's us. That's me. That's you. To every believer that's listening. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. It's foolishness to them. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. People think what I do is foolish. Listen. There are people that profess to be Christians who think my preaching style is absolute foolishness, cynical, and ludicrous. It need not be. Well, that's fine. That doesn't intimidate me. I will not become inhibited because of what people think about my preaching. I'm going to preach the Bible, and the Bible says the way is straight, and the way is narrow, and few there be that find it. These two-timing, self-serving preachers have opened up the way and made it a broad way. And that way leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Remember that. Few there be that find it. Just a few. Just a few. Folks, I know you see them on TV just like I do. They're not all going to heaven. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall I enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is why we must pray and seek God. We must seek God. We must pursue God. Well, I don't have time for that kind of pursuit. You better take time. You better find the time. You better consecrate, dedicate your life. You don't want to miss the second advent of Christ. You don't want to miss the coming of the Lord. You do not want to miss this, because there are no second chances. There are no second comings after he comes the second time. I know we're told in a pre-trib there's a partial second coming and then the real second coming. No. After he comes the second time, that's it. That's it. And it's not a pre-tribulation coming and then another coming. No, he's coming one time. And you'll either be ready or you'll not be ready. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The door never opened again, though they knocked, they pled, they begged, let us in. He said, no, I don't know you. You see, that stuff of a second chance, if you don't go into pre-trib, all this stuff, the Bible doesn't teach all of that. That's all man-made ideology. We got to pray, church. We've got to pray and earnestly contend for the faith in Jesus, the Lord Christ. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll pick this back up here in verse 3. God bless you.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.